This is the Amp Hour Podcast, recorded September 3rd, 2012. Episode 111, Demonstrative Dip Dacrygelosis.
Welcome to the Amp Hour. I'm Dave Jones from the EEV blog.
And I'm Chris Gammell of Chip Report TV and Chris Gammell's Analog Life.
Oh, plugging both there.
Oh yeah, you gotta do both.
And we do not have Bob Simpson today, sorry.
We are noticeably, absent.
We are absent. We were supposed to have him on, but unfortunately he couldn't make it at the last minute. So we're winging it, and Chris is really worried.
Oh, I'm out of, yeah.
He's packing lumpies because he's such an organized dude.
I'm off my game now, yeah. Packing lumpies,
like,
that's a new
so
one.
He's just going to mumble the whole show, no pun intended. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I'm expecting, guest shows are easy for us. We just ask questions and
they
do
just
all the
let
talking.
Them talk. Yeah, it's great. I know.
Now I'm,
Your mind is just mush now.
I'm still trying to get Kaiser on the phone here. We'll see if he cuts in late.
we're trying to get Jeff on at the last, look, we've already started.
Oh, yeah.
Want to join us? Oh, boy, yes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, boy. Anyway. That's the advantage of living your life in chaos. I was telling
that's right.
If you live an organized life, if it doesn't go to plan, you're screwed. You sit there going, "Oh no, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do."
Live your
life in chaos, dude.
You've got me pegged. Yep.
All right.
I'm just always running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Insert chicken noise in post edit.
Right.
Anyway, we will get Bob back on another episode.
Great.
Yep. We're really winging it here, folks. Like, we were actually we were a minute away from recording, and then we found out he couldn't make it. So we just hit bugger it. We'll hit record, and here we are.
Yeah, well, that's fun. It's like the old
professional
days.
Professional show. Yeah, exactly.
Professional show. Well, you got a trade show coming up, though, right?
I do have a trade show. Oh man, I barely even started organizing the thing, get yourself a trade show stand. It's just a whole bunch of worry, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's something where it's like you do it once, right? If you were going to do a lot, you'd be much better off because then you'd actually invest the money, get those fancy-ass rollout displays,
Yeah, exactly.
I used to do trade shows for like hiring co-ops and stuff like that. It's not really a trade show. It's just like a job fair. Mm-hmm. And we'd have like this big tag board sign, carrying that in the middle of winter in Cleveland is a lot more difficult than you see these people in suits just whistling their way down the street, doo 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 doo, and then they're just rolling this nice little pull case behind them. Yeah, they're just they're happy as a clam, and I'm like literally getting blown away. I look like I'm windsurfing here down the Cleveland avenues, So,
that's nothing, dude. I drove halfway up the U.S. West Coast in a van with a truckload of bloody gear in the back for a trade show,
Oh, yeah. And that's right. You mentioned that before.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And then every time you go to a trade show, because here they're always overseas, right? The big ones. So you go to – most companies that go to these trade shows regularly, they already have, as you said, all the stuff, right? They have, we've got all these flight cases, that we pack everything in, and we've got the display, the custom display stands and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of that will carry over from one show to the next. And you've got to cart all this crap around. And once somebody within the company who's all involved in organizing it knows that you're one of the people going, oh, can you carry this? Can you carry this? Can you carry this? And there's people giving you, packed bags at the last second, and you get to the airport. Did you pack your own bags? Sir? No. Do you know what's in the bag?
Here, please.
I'm not sure. Somebody at the company just packed it for me.
Don't do that in the US,
bend
man.
Bend over, sir.
Yeah, you'll get a surprise.
You'll get a TSA rubber glove, yeah.
That's right, yeah. Yearly checkup of the doctor needed, right?
That's it.
You're in full health.
And it's chaos. Yeah, so, if you're doing these things regularly, you have stuff,
Well, not even that. Display, I mean, some companies have entire departments just meant for... That's all they do. And I can't imagine that life. I mean, it's not an easy life. It's a lot of standing around.
It's not.
There's a lot of beer to be drank after the shows. I mean, like, it's a tough life.
Well, we've talked about that before, how tough it is standing all day on a trade show stand. It's, you know.
Yeah, it's no fun. And you're going to be doing it, huh? And
not only that, I'm going to be doing it.
You said the Amp Hour is going to be there as well. In spirit.
They're technically listed, yes.
Yeah.
Would you like me to get a big cardboard cutout of you?
Oh, yeah. You can just stand me. I'll just stand slightly behind you. I'll just off to the back. Just that guy who looks like he doesn't know what he's supposed to be saying this week because he his world was upended.
I must confess, I tweeted this. I did order a 6-foot cardboard cutout of myself.
I can't wait to see it.
I know, it's going to be hilarious because, yes. I've got to have something in the stand when I'm not there, when I'm actually out walking around blogging the show, because I've got to blog the show as well, right?
Yeah.
I've got to blog the event. So, you know, I mean, can't be in two places at once.
Right, yeah.
And you know, and I need something to hang a sign on, you know, next live teardown at 2 p.m., you know?
Right.
So I can... It'd be funny me watching me walk around carrying a cardboard cutout of myself. That'd be
well,
so.
Like
if
a stand,
anyone at the show can secretly snap a photo of that, is there a prize on offer for somebody who snaps a photo of me carrying my own cardboard cutout?
How about the prizes? They get a picture with you, a Dave sandwich, a cardboard Dave on one side, a real Dave on the other.
Right.
Yikes.
Oh man.
Oh, that's gonna be great though.
It's just all the little things. Like now I'm starting to worry that, you know, I'm not going to have it together in time, what I'm going to have on there, how you actually, you know, just the small stuff, like, you know, how you're going to put the table, where you're going to get a table from, where you're going to put things, power cords. Like they don't even have power coming into these stands. You've got to actually pay for that separately to get power onto your stand. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I was just thinking about this cardboard cutout, and since I'm guessing your
you've
wife
got the mental image now,
I'm guessing your wife isn't going to volunteer to be a booth babe, so maybe you should dress the cardboard cutout in like a hula skirt, and that could be your booth babe, your stand-in / booth babe.
I don't even know if I'm getting it. You know, like I've ordered it, but I haven't heard back from the company who makes it. So it's like, well, I don't know. Have you shipped it yet? I want my damn cardboard cutout.
Oh, the ultimate ego. I love it. I can't wait to see this thing.
I can't wait to see it. I know. It's going to be hilarious. But, I don't know what to do. You know, I'll try and live stream it, but all that is sort of like winging it on the day because I don't know what type of internet connection I'm going to get there, whether it's going to be reliable. I just, you know, I don't know anything. Then I'm organizing freebies at the moment. So,
I was going to ask about that. What are you going to give away?
Come by my stand. Yeah, there will be freebies.
Are you giving something away in particular or no?
Yes, I'll be giving away something from my friends in Circuit Labs in New Zealand, hopefully.
Oh, nice.
So, a custom-designed thing, so which will be handy.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
I don't think I'll have enough for everyone, so it'll be,
it'll
be based on a secret password, you know, what's the secret password? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Great Scott. Same as last time. So if you come up to me at the trade show and you say, Great Scott, you'll get a freebie if I haven't run out.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
A whole new experience, man. Dave,
I know, it's the
trade show.
Yeah, I don't know. And the only reason I'm doing it is because I got the stand for free. You know, it's just not like I'm going to pay the... You know, a couple of thousand dollars it costs for it. Yeah, exactly. I don't
just
need
like
the
me.
Publicity that bad. Yeah, exactly. Where there's tight asses. Engineers are tight asses by nature, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's no way I'd ever do my own trade show stand. But, hey, I'm the official blogger for the event. So, you know, they gave me a stand. Hey, would you like a stand? Yeah. And then I didn't realize what I was getting myself in for. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fear is that it's going to be lame and embarrassing. You know, you don't want to be, we've talked about this before, you don't want to be just the one guy there with the table and a chair sitting, you know, looking sad, just
on your laptop.
You know, just messaging on his phone, just sitting in his lame-ass booth, right, with nothing to show.
Yeah.
You know, that's just sad. You just walk by and you go, loser. You know, you just mumble under your breath.
No. I just figure they don't have budget for it, you know. It's just like, well, might as well go. But
Yeah, exactly. Might as well go and have a presence and meet people. And yep.
Yeah, and that's a good tip for people. If you are at a trade show and you see someone and you do happen to read their, you know, printed out sign that was on a laser jet printer and it's something interesting, that person will probably grasp onto you for having someone to talk about if you really want to talk about something. So those are the best people to talk to because they often have the most time versus
up to that sad looking person sitting alone in their booth and they'll talk to you for hours. And then,
right. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. They'll be your new best friend.
That's right. That's right.
Boy.
So let's hit up the Reddit list because, as people know now, we have a Reddit list where we add in questions throughout the week or news stories or anything like that.
And you can vote them up.
And you can, yeah.
And you know, we won't talk about them.
What do you mean? Like,
we will. Well, because we haven't really done the thing where we talk, where we rattle off the list of the most popular ones yet, have we?
No, we haven't. I mean, you mean like only go like in order?
In order of which one got the most votes.
No, this isn't a democracy. Come on.
It's a dictatorship.
Duocracy. Right.
That's right. That's the only way to get things done is a dictatorship. People don't understand this, you know.
Right. Well, who's in charge though? Is it you or me?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't give a shit most of the time.
Right. That means I am.
You're the one who's all organized and
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Anyway, I like this one. Nut job. Here's the title Chris has put in. Nut job attempts to extort $35 computer from nonprofit foundation.
Actually, that was a...
this is great.
We were talking about it on Twitter. I saw the story on Twitter and... Oh, crap. I forget who it was now. I'll have to remember who it was. He actually suggested that, whatever the original title was, it shouldn't be that. It should be Nutjob Tries to Extort this computer. And Liz, who's in charge of the Raspberry Pi Foundation, says, yeah, I like that better. Let's change the title. And that's what the title of it now is now.
So who's this dude?
I don't know. It's
Eben? Is that his name?
Oh, Eben's the guy that runs Raspberry Pi Foundation. So Liz and Eben. Okay. Eben's
so
the one
Steve
to work.
Is the person.
Yeah, Steve's
Steve
the nut
is
job.
The nut job. Right. Yeah,
Steve's the nut job. And basically, he got a hold of Steve's or Eben's email address and just started chatting with him on G. You can tell it's GChat, right? And
right.
And it's just, he's just, give me a free board, give me a free board. And, he can't. It's against the policy, basically. But you read it too. I mean, it's just basically.
I haven't read it all yet because you just sprung it on me before the show. Right. But I'm looking through it now, and it looks pretty hilarious.
Yeah. and basically he just keeps going through all these different things, and you can tell he's just totally full of crap. eventually the guy finally finally just ignore him. I don't know how the hell Eben had so much patience in this, but. He does, and he just kind of finally the guy goes away. But man, he just tries everything. He says, "Oh, well, I have so much buying power. Oh, I'm a journalist. Oh, I'm a student. Oh, you're a racist." It's like, oh my god, really? Like, where is this guy coming from? So yeah, it's insane.
It does degenerate into the Jewish argument, folks.
Right, that was the racist comment. Yeah, it was like, and it's just
that's funny.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think this is just a sign of like Raspberry Pi, we know there's a very big thing now, right? I mean, it's expanded beyond development board. It's expanded way past, it's just, tiny Linux computer, right? That's how people see it now. And, and that's part of the problem is, it's a mass market now, right? We've seen this in a lot of different cases of Kickstarter and other things. You deal with a whole new set of problems, and in this case, you get a larger you get a larger percentage of the population, and the bigger you go, the more you play the numbers, and the more you play the numbers, you get some crazies in there. So,
well, that's exactly what I've found with my videos. If I do a general interest video, woohoo! Out come the nut jobs, right? As opposed to, just the odd nut job I'll get if I just release a regular video to a niche audience.
Right, exactly.
And, they all come out of the woodworks. When you stretch your breadth across a larger audience base, then,
Oh, yeah.
Well, they all come out. It's just sheer statistics. I mean,
no, exactly, you know. Exactly. Well, as I've said on here before, and misquoted probably someone I don't even know who said this, but you know, imagine the average intelligence of the population. Now half the people are dumber than that, right? It's like right. Or crazier than that, or you know, like.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, more desperate than that. Whatever it is, you know. It's, you start playing the numbers, and they start to look pretty grim. So.
And they can get really feral, as a bit of a case of what happens here. If you don't give them exactly what they want, they instantly just snap and turn feral on you. So it's you know, it can get nasty really quick with these exchanges.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, it's people that are used to, you know, being obnoxious. And because they're obnoxious, they get their way, right? People just shut them up to get them out of there. And it's like, yeah, well, when you can't do it, you can't do it. You know, it's just...
Oh, boy.
It's a whole lot of... It's 10 pounds of crazy in a five-pound bag right there. You can read it yourself. Our listening audience can read it. And you'll see how crazy this guy was. So.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
News alert. Wages are going up 13% in Shenzhen.
Yeah, that was a Wired article this week. It's kind of... Kind of crazy. It's I don't know what to think about. I mean, like it was been coming, right? I mean, like,
well, it's good. I mean, I've been to China and I've talked to the people who work in these, factories, and the conditions and the pay they get is, you know, it's just dismal, really.
Yeah.
You know,
it is.
Yeah, I worked. You know, I've been to one of these assembly factories, and they told me that. Oh, at the factory they worked at, if you made a mistake, you pay for it. It comes out of your pay. You know, if you break something, or you know, break a board, or you goof up something. Yeah, even if it's $1,000 board, you know, as some boards that we were putting through, you know, then you know that's their wages gone for months.
Really,
know?
They it's really like, did
yeah.
that.
They do that. They told me that they do that. It's crazy.
You just quit at that point? I mean, that's basically just someone quitting, right?
You know, that's why I asked them, you know, why don't you just quit and go, but there's, you know, they're all the same. They were telling me. That
well,
doesn't
yeah,
matter
but I mean,
you
like,
go.
Like, if so say you get paid $100 a week, right? You break a $1,000 board. You're not going to be like, oh, well, I'll work your 10 more weeks and then I'll quit, right?
Right, no. Exactly. So they hang in there. Well, you know, there are some of them who do and go on. You know, they don't put up with the shit.
That actually gets to the problem of it, right? I mean, maybe at some point it was a hard time finding another job, right? But these days, there's just so much industry over there. You walk down the street, you get another job immediately, right?
And you would think so, yeah.
No, that's what it is, and that is exactly what leads to inflation, right? Not only does that lead to, turnover rates at companies, which is horrendous. You know, in order to keep people, and in order to, you know, continue to draw people in, you have to raise rates, basically. And that's what leads to the inflation. I mean, that's why the rates are going up. It's not because it's like they're doing it out of the goodness of their hearts, as much as, you know, people might want that. This is straight up inflation. Food's getting more expensive. Housing's getting more expensive. You know, it's just cities are more crowded. Everything there, it has to do that. And that's why the minimum wage is going up. I mean, the government's moving it up. And so it's good that it's keeping up, but here's my question with it, and this is the question I posed on Reddit, say tomorrow went up 1,000%, right? Does electronics still stay in Shenzhen? That's my question. Go.
it's already moving away from China. There's already, we've talked about it, a lot of companies moving back, moving
but
their manufacturing
not
back
really.
Because
I mean,
it's creeping up. No,
we
not,
say that,
you know,
but not really.
Okay,
like we're talking
no,
like
still
less
95%,
than 1%,
right? Yeah. Okay, so we're talking, but it is a sign. So if it went up an order of magnitude, yes, that can swing it in the opposite direction, or it moves off. You know, it moves off to India, it moves off to the next cheapest location,
right? In Indonesia,
right?
Or wherever.
Yeah, wherever, right? Yeah. You know, it's. I mean, you know, there's nothing special about, you know, China, and it's just that they had a lot of people, and they worked cheap, or they used to, right?
Well,
that
I don't know,
it.
Though. I mean, like, all right, so think about...
Well, it helps with the communist, thing. Helps a lot. As we said, the old dictatorship works well.
Yeah,
in
unilateral
terms of
actions
getting stuff
against,
done,
you know, for tax breaks and everything else, right? I mean, they're going to continue to try and get investment, so they'll make incentives, but my point is that like what about critical mass though, right? That's exactly the argument that was made when all that stuff came out about Apple, right? And they were talking about, oh, would they ever move back? And they said, I think it was when the Jobs biography came out. They said no, we wouldn't have done it because we couldn't have gotten the supply chain that we need in order to do this at the scale mm-hmm. that we need. And that's my question is, if wages went up 1,000% tomorrow, is it possible to replicate Shenzhen elsewhere?
Well, no, there's not, because not instantly, because the infrastructure's not there. They've built up this infrastructure over a lot, you know, over 20 years or something like that, you know.
Right. Yeah,
where
exactly.
Everything's there.
The special zone.
Yeah,
right.
You know, everything. And they've got 20 million billion assembly machines, and they've got all the parts that are there and everything else. And it's just, you know.
Right. And well, that's what I'm saying, though. Like,
it is a one-stop shop. Yeah, I know. Then you are correct. No, it's not going to instantly go back. It can't. It can't.
Yeah, the seg market's
happen.
There, right? I mean, like, right? We've seen the videos. The seg market is unbelievable, right?
I know. It can't happen. It can't happen overnight. But that doesn't mean it can't happen over the span of a decade or 20 years.
That, okay. I agree with that.
And there's a lot of people saying that that's going to be the case. Because, you know, all these Chinese people are, you know, getting up in arms. We want better pay. We want, you know, we want a first world, you know, standard of living and all that sort of stuff. And, well, that costs money.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Because I guess the real question then after that, right? So we say, okay, yeah, 10 years from now, it's not going to be there anymore, which, whatever. Where does it go?
It's still going to be there, but it won't be, the shift might go to somewhere
else.
But
does it actually start moving back to more, you know, high wage countries anyways? I mean, you know, do you say, well, it's, you know, you're gonna get robotic, you know, because everything's going to SMT, because there's less human assembly stuff, you know, more robotic assembly, what we've talked about before, then maybe the US looks okay. Maybe Australia looks okay. I don't know. I don't know where it goes next.
But the ace up their sleeve, of course, is that all the components are manufactured there. Right?
That's a good point.
That's the ace up their sleeve. Okay? Yeah. Will they become just a supply country and not a, you know, a turnkey
finished
assembly
good,
country anymore? Right? They might go back to the supply model of where they just, you know, supply the individual parts and they don't do as much labor anymore, maybe. That, you know, but because it takes many decades for fab plants to move out of countries and spread elsewhere in the world, right? That's
they don't really move, right?
Tomorrow.
They become decrepit and then they just don't do anything with them. They just let them die, really.
They become brownfields. Right.
They don't upgrade. Yeah. And I guess that, you know, if there's a new fab, who's the one? Is it UMC is in China, I believe? Maybe they're in Hong Kong. You know, like if they build a new fab there, of course they're not going to abandon it tomorrow because that's stupid, right? Or if you're just building a new factory now, you're stupid. Even if wages go up, you just do what you got to do.
Push
right?
on. Yeah, exactly.
You get efficiency.
So make that return on your investment.
Yeah. Another argument there too is that what does China do when wages start to go up? They do the same thing the U.S. does when wages start to go up. They start working on making more efficient processes, right? You know, you don't put 10 people on a job that takes 2 people in reality. You actually, you know, you do some Six Sigma crap and you optimize your manufacturing processes. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I know that they're doing a lot of that now as well, but, you know, like a lot of those gains were coming in the productivity gains in the U.S. were coming from manufacturing side of things and manufacturing engineering stuff. So, instead of throwing people at it, you throw process at it, basically.
Right.
So maybe we'll see that. I don't know. It's an interesting question because, like you said, man, everything's there, right? I mean, like, especially
exactly.
the
it's
component
all there.
Stuff, you know? And
so that's not going to go away in the next 20 years, at least. You know, that's just going to continue to be the case. So
yeah, built up in 20 years. It could go up. It could go away in 10 years.
20 years is a long time, but, you know.
It is a long time.
The absolute minimum, 10, right? Not much is going to change in the next 10 years, guaranteed.
I'd give it 10 years, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Minimum.
The crazy thing...
Oh,
go ahead.
An interesting tidbit I discovered when I was on the life-sucking force, which is Wikipedia.
Okay.
I don't know how I ended up on it. Did you know that the NSA, it makes sense, the NSA, as in the National Security, U.S. National Security Agency, have their own fab plant?
I did not know that. That's interesting.
They've got one at Fort Meade or wherever they're, yeah, Fort Meade, I think, is their, you know, their location where they've got 10,000 people working and the big... Yeah. building is and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, apparently they have their own fab plant, which makes sense because they need to do their own special encryption,
yeah,
decoding fabs and all that sort of stuff. And there's someone at the door.
Your door?
Hang on. Is it Jeff Kaiser? Sorry, it could be a courier. This could be important. I'm not sure if the wife's still home.
Oh, God, I hope it's a cardboard thing. Oh, I have to... great, yeah. So I go from the usual no guest to just up by myself now. So what else is on the list? Actually, I just talked to Jeff. Jeff is not going to be able to make it because of the port blocking at Valve. But we'll see. Maybe next time Jeff will get on here. So what else is on the list? No, we ran through that last week. Someone talked to me last week about this. It's like, oh, well, when Chris gets on there by himself and Dave goes to answer the door, it gets to be really awkward. And we're there.
And? I'm back.
Yeah.
Oh, and yes, it was. It's my DigiKey package.
Woo-hoo. Oh, DigiKey. I thought it was going to be your cardboard cutout.
I've got
cutout.
To do this for the. This is for the trade show.
I thought you were
going to
do cardboard
my...
cutout.
Well, yeah, I know. This is more important. I was trying to get my USB power supply running before the show. My prototype. So. Yeah, these are the parts.
Dude, I'm totally awkward when you go to the door. That's not cool.
Sorry, I had to. I was desperate.
I know you do.
And
yeah,
yes,
you're the only one there, right?
The wife wasn't home.
I know.
She snuck out somewhere, and I thought that might have been the case, and well, you know.
Don't you
no,
guys leave
I need
packages?
These.
Don't you have that in Australia where you can like...
Sometimes you can sign the waiver that says, you know, FedEx, I sign the thing that says, please leave all future packages there, yeah. And they don't.
They don't
like
really?
It doesn't work. No, it doesn't. So, I don't. Yeah, it's lame.
So what are you gonna do on the USB power? I was gonna ask you about that anyways. What's going on with that?
Oh, I rushed a prototype board through. It's done. I haven't done a video on it yet, but I tweeted a couple of photos of the board. So if you follow me on Twitter, which you should be doing, then you would have got my. Talk about the TSA, fab plan at the NSA.
Yeah. That's where Dave keeps all his links for the week. I do them on Reddit. Dave keeps them on Twitter.
Anyway, yeah. I've my USB power supply. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to do a spoiler. Wait, but you can probably see if you have a look at the photo anyway.
I'm going to look at it right now. Oh, that's what that was. Okay, yeah. So I saw you tweeted a board. I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And you got your little platypus on there in the silk screen.
I managed to squeeze. Yeah, there's always room for a platypus. Yeah. Squeezed it in there, and it's a combination of. I'm pretty happy with the design. I hope it works. I rushed it. I really rushed it together at the last minute. You know, hoping to get a board back in time, and I did.
That's good.
So
we were talking about that last week. That's good. You said you were going to do that. So
yeah.
That's great, man.
And it's good to set a deadline. See, I've been dicking around on that USB power supply, scratching my bum, doing nothing for the last couple of months. And, you know, all of a sudden, deadline. I'll do it for the show.
Oh, shit.
And then, engineers really go into overdrive when they have that known deadline. They're very good at it.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny too hearing you say this because you've complained in the past about the night before a trade show or being at the trade show still soldering in the morning, and now you're doing it to yourself.
I know exactly. And the thing is, it always gets done.
It does
somehow.
Yeah.
It's
tough
bizarre.
Too because you can't just say, oh well, Tuesday's a deadline. It's like, yeah, you know that's not really a deadline, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
exactly.
No. Trade show is the deadline. You have to have some kind of juice behind it, right? You need something for real. I wonder if there's like a market in like setting up a, you know, like hiring some guy that would offer to break your legs. You know, you hire him.
If you didn't,
well,
get
if I'm not
done
by Thursday, you come break my leg. No, I was kidding. You're fired. Oh crap.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's that. Innate ability of engineers, I think, they don't, like, it's not like you when you formally do a procedure and you're all, nice and organized and all
I'm
that sort of
that
stuff.
I'm not that organized, just because I keep links somewhere and I keep
a
calendar.
In that Yeah, see a calendar for starters, right?
A calendar, oh, crazy. Yeah,
and you've probably got those Gantt charts too, right?
No, I do not do Gantt charts.
Ah, right. Okay.
You know, I was actually dealing with that. You know, I used to be really into that stuff, to be honest. I used to be really into, I was looking at like Agile and, you know, I'm planning to like talk about Agile on my other podcasts and stuff like that. And it interests me, right? But lately I've been having to update that stuff in my own projects, right? And I have a project manager, right? And I'm just like, you know, when I'm on this side of it, it blows, you know?
See, you've got a project manager for your own personal projects.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Well, like, no, it's just like I want to just do the work. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to update. Oh, I have 8 hours left. It's like I get that's the worst part is I understand the benefits of it. I totally get it, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to do this
because there's no one else to show it to. You know, there's no one else to do it for or to impress. You know, when you've got a boss or something, you can show them progress. Because
this is at work. This is at work. I'm talking about my real day job. I'm saying like. I'm all about like, you know, like keeping track of like Agile and like doing like quick turnarounds and stuff like that and, you know, showing stuff off and everything. And just the administrative side of it is just so tedious. And it's not even much. It's just, you know, filling in, oh, I did like 4 hours of work on this week. It's not hard, but I was just like slogging through it being like, I hate this. Why? Yep.
Now, you're an engineer. Yeah. Engineers hate time. They hate filling out timesheets. They hate filling out weekly progress reports and crap like that. It's just leave me alone.
Right, but here's the thing. I know how useful that stuff actually is, right? I mean, I know, but I still can't stand it, right? What is that? Why does that happen? I don't understand.
It's the innate engineer in you. It resists all other, you know, it's such a powerful force that it resists all other means of control, you know?
I guess so, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Now if I had to do that for myself, yeah, if you're, like you were saying, with personal projects, that would be ridiculous. I don't even know how to begin to start.
It's hard enough to get a bombing order for your own project.
Yeah. Oh,
let alone a Gantt chart. Or
gross.
Yeah. Exactly.
You find someone who does that. You have found someone who has like OCD or is just extremely organized or something. I don't even know.
They'd love working at a big military company.
They would. Yeah.
If
any of our listeners do that for personal projects, I would love to see that or hear about that because I don't even know what that would look like.
Yeah. Well, some people do awesome documentation on their own.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
On their own projects. There's a few people that do stuff like that. So.
Yeah, but documentation. They're I feel like that's more of a drive to share than it is to track
it is.
And improve,
granted.
Right? You know, like.
Yeah, because no one's ever going to see your work you put into, you know, your back end system to take care of your bombs and do your project management and all that sort of stuff. No one's ever going to see it.
Right. Unless you share it. I mean, if you share it, then that's good. But
what's the point in sharing it?
Well, I mean, like, if you almost develop a new bomb calculation system, right, and you share that algorithm or you share the software, that would be different. That's not what you're talking about, though. Huh.
No, that's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
So how's your day job going anyway?
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay.
I can't talk about
shrug.
It.
Yeah, you'd rather not be, doing this show full time, right?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, if we get any, if there's any sponsors out there, we'd love to do this full time. I'd love to do this full time. Dave's already doing his own thing full time. Yeah.
Yep. We'll see. And it's pretty cool, I can tell you.
Yeah? Yeah, sitting around scratching your bum all day?
Yep.
Now, I see something on this board I want to ask you about. You put the open source hardware logo on that, and we've talked about open source hardware before in the past.
Yep.
Did we talk about the logo craziness?
But I haven't kept track of that. I don't know what the latest is.
I was gonna ask, so basically what the story is behind that is they got sued by the open source software people.
Well, no, they didn't get sued.
They
had concerns. They started to get the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
That if you is that a word? Is that a US word?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah? They started to get nervous, get the heebie-jeebies that because the open source hardware logo was a clear derivative of
the open source software, yeah.
The open source software logo that it infringes there, that little key symbol in the middle. And they're using it with the permission of them, but then technically they own it and they're tied to whatever you know.
And there's like some profit that thing in there. Isn't like something about like they'd have to actually pay money? I don't know. It was a big to do.
I don't know. So their choice was the open source hardware groups. It's now a formal organization, by the way, if you don't know. It's got members and, you know, directors and all that sort of jazz. It's a proper legal organization. But their choices were basically to either license the logo from, legally pay money and license the logo so then it's all, you know, squared off legally, you know. But I don't know how much that would cost per year to
I thought it was a bit. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't know.
But anyway, that was one of the choices. Or the other one was to do nothing and just go with it and hope that down the track the open source software community who technically own the trademark on that logo or part of that logo don't sue them or, you know, do whatever. And the third choice was to change it.
Yeah, and I think they're doing the third choice.
I think they're doing the third one.
That's smart. Who cares?
Change it.
They had hundreds of suggestions, so they'll just pick another one. And that's coming up actually in late September, later this month. They're having the open source hardware convention.
Yes, they are. That's right.
The summit, open hardware summit, something like that.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm using the old logo, huh? I don't know.
I don't think there's anything else to know about it yet, but...
Yeah, no.
I just thought it was interesting.
They are changing it, so just a heads up.
Yeah.
So, which, you know, is confusing, but, you know, you could argue that it's better to bite the bullet now, right? Do it once, and then it's... Yep. It's all done and dusted.
Yeah.
So, anyway, back to the NSA, ChipFab.
Yeah.
They have their own ChipFab. And another interesting statistic that I tweeted, of course, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll already know this. Talking about low wages, apparently 5% of the people who work at the NSA live below the poverty line.
Really?
Yeah. It's on the wiki page for the NSA headquarters. And because it's its own jurisdiction in terms of the census...
Huh.
Right? You can publicly get the census data, you know, how many males, how many females, blah, 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 what their incomes are. And their average income is like $28,000 or something ridiculous. And 5% of them live below the poverty line. And this is where you don't live here unless you work for the NSA, right? It's a closed community.
Right.
Right? So how does this work? Like,
that's weird.
Do they have no money left after buying all their mainframes to pay anyone?
I don't know. That's weird.
I know. But that's an official stat from the Census Bureau. People fill in the census and they live in this NSA community because there's 10,000 people working there.
Yeah.
Right? And they all, you know, you cannot drive into this community.
Right. It's like a special exit. We've talked about that, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
weird.
Go figure. If anyone knows any more about that.
Well, yeah, right. Oh, yeah. I work for the NSA. I'd like to give you some information about this, Dave Jones.
No, but just in general, in terms of the U.S., I mean, you might know. You might be up on it. You're a Yank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, they give us that in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the U.S., right?
Right. Yeah.
Just open it and ask what the NSA is all about.
What is the average wage in the U.S.? There's talk about, oh, you know, the airline pilots are getting $30,000 a year or something ridiculous like that.
No. I think, like, they do it by, like, home income, I think, is, like, 50K, 40 or 50K.
Like, but that's combined.
That's, like, a four-person household, though. Yeah.
So that's both parents. That's both people working.
Yeah.
So the average wage would be, what?
It's lower.
25?
Yeah, it's lower. I don't know.
Ouch.
Well, you're a Wikipedia fanatic. What the heck, man?
No, I could find it. I just don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't have the Hitchhiker's Guide to the U.S. here. You know.
Anyway, it's all not going to matter when the U.S. collapses again financially. So it's going to happen, folks. Mark my words.
All right, well.
Sorry, dude.
Join Dave in shorting every stock.
I'd be. Yeah. That's it.
The amp hour. Boy. Financial advice is not meant to, make any money or anything. So,
yes. Do not take financial or life advice from engineers, folks.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Anyway, yeah, I thought that's interesting that they've got their own fab. And it makes sense because then they can develop their own chips in-house.
Yeah.
You know, without the security, you know, problems of getting them made somewhere else. They can vet every single person who works there and, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how big or what scale it is. I don't think it's a big, Intel scale fab or anything, but, a little niche.
No, yeah, and you don't need much. If you're doing, you could do, 180 nanometers, still do some cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Especially if you don't care about the size of the thing, if you care more about
you don't, because they just parallel everything up, right? They just manufacture a million of them and parallel it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it depends
what
you're using it for, right?
A megawatt.
If you're using it for, like data center stuff, that's different than if you're using it for, like, handheld stuff, right?
Yeah, handheld consumer, because you've got to go smaller, because the smaller, smaller geometry you go, the lower power you get, the more bang per buck in terms of, power per speed and all that sort of stuff. But
yeah,
I mean, if you're not constrained by that sort of those sort of power budgets, you can use an old style fab. Yeah, heck, only 140 nanometers,
Yeah.
Shock.
Speaking of a monolithic company that makes chips, Texas Instruments actually just had a design contest for seniors in college. So,
it's over. It's done.
It's done. Yeah, it's done. It was a while ago, actually. It's for basically college seniors could, for like senior projects, they could write to TI and they could say, I need, this, and this chip. And they'll give them free samples, and then they, had it just going to make a video out of it and then show it off, and then they can enter it with poster contest or something like that.
So this is high school students?
No, this is college. This is college.
Oh, college is in uni.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. University. Yeah.
University. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you know what this really is, right? This is recruiting. I mean, this is just straight up.
Of course it is.
We want people to, compete for prize money, and then we're going to try to hire them with even more prize money.
That's right.
And it is brilliant. It's a lot of analog stuff too. That's the other part of it. So that's what catches my attention, obviously. And
So these are existing engineering students that can enter.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And they call it the Ingibus? Engibus? Huh? Engibus Prize, maybe? Engibous? Engibus? I don't know. I was saying Enigbus, but I spelled it wrong before, so unless I...
Oh, I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is just stupid, made-up word.
I think it's someone's name. I'm sure he appreciates that.
Right. Sorry, dude.
Your name sucks. Yeah. But yeah, there was cool projects in here though. I looked at the group from my alma mater, Case Western Reserve. They did a cool little combo, DMM and oscilloscope with a bunch of TI chips. That was pretty cool. And then this the winning team was from Rice, and they got a It was like a mobile station. The mobile vision. That's what it was. So you could...
I see it, yep.
Yeah, you could do, a retinal scan, and then you could, do something with, talk to, an Android phone or something like that.
So does their school give them support for this? Can they get credit towards their final project or something?
Yeah, it's meant for final projects. Basically, if you're doing a final project, write to TI, we'll give you a bunch of free chips, and then we'll try and hire you afterwards.
And then you get that approved by your professor.
Exactly.
And, that's right. Okay, got it.
Exactly.
Because, I didn't think they would get many if they had to, if they weren't getting credit towards their degree, because they'd be so busy finishing off their own final project that they wouldn't have time to do this.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why some are very good, because they've probably been working on it for 6 months, right?
I mean, this is some serious stuff. I mean, it's not like cobble it together over a weekend. This is like...
Right. So this is a final year project kind of stuff where you put, half the effort into your report as well as the hardware, so...
Right, exactly. And that's why it's great for, a design contest too, because it is so... It's got some meaty chunks to it, right? I mean, so it's good to check out, and it's got some cool stuff too. I mean, especially with a optics kind of thing, right? I mean, if you're scanning someone's retina, that's some cool stuff, right? I mean, that's not something, if they're working with a college professor, then they probably have some very specified advice as well. So pretty cool. I like it. I approve.
Way thumbs up.
Yeah, winners all around. Especially those kids getting analog jobs, which are, I keep telling people, man,
There's big money in analog, huh?
There is,
All right.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's more so, you know, I feel like I have to like put a disclaimer with that. You know, especially if you're working for a chip company, right? If you're working as a chip designer, big money. Of course, you're going to be, you know, you'll be working on a PLL circuit somewhere in a dark room. But, you know, there's fewer and fewer people that can do it. So,
are there various pay grades? Like, do you actually double if you actually grow a beard?
Oh.
And then it doubles again if it's gray, once it goes gray?
That would be awesome. That's why they do it.
Right. Oh, boy.
Oh,
yep.
Man.
Oh, this guy must be good. He's got a gray beard.
Exactly.
You know? Got to pay him double.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Go up, you know? Go up in pay grade. What's this crap on the list? How much longer will dip packages survive?
That was an honor.
What have you put this on here for?
That was me.
Why?
That was a real thing. You think they're going to stick? Well, it's good. We talked about it already, I think. But
yeah, we probably have.
Well, here's the real thing. So it's from Chip Report TV, right? I do all these chips, right? And it's like, oh, well, this is Tiny Chip 1, Tiny Chip 2, right? And people have been writing to me, and they say, well, I don't give a crap. It's not dip, right? And
yep.
And I'm like, well, you're not going to have – I mean, I've seen one product announcement in the past 5 years that's been a dip part, and it was that Cortex M0 from NXP. And it was very specialized in that they put it in a dip package because they were very specifically targeting the hobbyist market. We talked about that on here.
Why? Here's an idea. Why don't the manufacturers they may not produce dip packages anymore, but why don't they sell them as converter boards?
Converter boards.
Like as in fully assembled converter boards.
Like,
I guess it's easier and cheaper for them to just do a dip version, right?
Maybe,
sell their surface mount chip,
man,
but they offer it. They actually offer it. You can buy it through DigiKey.
There's no money in it. Where is the money in that? There's none.
I know, but I, well...
you're just
Yeah,
you're
I
just
guess it's the same
it,
argument,
right?
You're just paying more, yeah.
If anything...
You may as well do the dip package.
Did we talk... We talked about this last week. See, this is the problem.
I'm sure we did.
We were going to have 2 whole weeks between episodes that I could have, you know, passed it off as, oh, well, we didn't talk about dip last week. But we totally talked about dip last week. And it's got me... I was thinking about it more because we were talking about it last week. There's no money in it. Best case scenario, right? You have someone who goes out and, you know, buys... You know, like, you see all these product announcements now where companies are actually selling bare dye. I mean, they've always done that, but you had to kind of...
Yep.
You kind of had to, you know, know somebody... Not know somebody. You had
you
to buy
to
a shitload of them.
You had to be special. You couldn't walk in there and I'll have 10 bare dye, please.
Right.
You
know, and now I see part numbers coming out, and it's like, you know... MSP430-die, and I'm like, whoa, is this thing telling me to die? And then I calm down and I say, oh, it's the bare die. They're just selling that because, you know, people put them down on boards, they put the black goop on them, and then they, you know, it's a real thing, right? We talked about that here.
And absolutely.
So best case scenario, you have third party packaging, you know, you buying those bare die because you can get them easily now. And then, you know, someone's just doing a die bonder, and then they package it up in the, you know, in a dip package, and then they sell that. They basically are just a packager. That's the best case, right?
Yep.
Now you're going to have to pay about, you know, a $2 chip is going to become a $10 chip, and no one's going to want to pay that. So just
they might as a one-off.
Maybe. I don't think so,
man. It's like way back in the old days, you would pay a buttload more for the microcontroller with the erasable window on it, right?
Because
that was an expensive package,
yeah.
Right? I'm talking way, way back before you were born.
Right. No, I get it.
And that was a real thing. You know, you would pay 10 times the price of the normal chip. You would buy that special windowed erasable micro.
Here's the difference.
That was your development chip. You knew you had to pay more for it.
Here's the difference. Having an erasable window, or erasable, as you say, the difference there is there's an economic advantage. You do that because you don't want to have to keep popping new chips into the programmer. You want to just erase it, put it back in,
true.
And program it, right? In the case of a hobbyist using a dip package, right, paying more money is eventually you're just going to have someone say, well, I'll do a breakout board. I don't care. It's just cheaper.
Yeah, true. It rules out it does rule out the hobbyist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got. Yeah, there's a very niche window there where it's too expensive for hobbyists, but it's not. You know, there's very few pros who would bother with dip. They're going to go straight to PCB.
Yeah. Now here, I just came up with this. Here is a brilliant new thing. Not a brilliant. It's not new. It's not new, and it's not that brilliant. But I want to see someone do this because I don't have time to do this. We need someone to do a Kickstarter for an easy board prototyping system, right? We need either, it could be an acid bath, it could be, it could be a board router. I don't care what it is.
It's like your mythical chip printing machine. A PC, it just spits out PCBs nothing, right?
Yeah, it could just be a PCB milling machine. I don't care. That's got to be the next Kickstarter that I see, because that's the next thing that you need, right? I mean, that's the next step, mm-hmm. is because even going from an SOIC out to a DIP package or something prototypable, right? I mean, you need that kind of thing. So
you need the PCB. Yeah,
yeah, we need MakerBot of the PCB milling machine. And don't say LPKF. Someone's going to say LPKF, and it's like, yeah, sure, when I have 40 grand sitting around, I will go straight to LPKF. But until then, I need low-cost piece of crap bought on Kickstarter board milling machine. So get on it, people.
There's an article in this month's Silicon Chip for a cheap-ass PCB milling machine.
No.
Or it's a cutter, but they've modified it to be a PCB milling machine. And it's like a couple hundred bucks.
Oh, well, maybe it's already been done.
The edition's not here. It's at the lab. Can't access
it. Post it later.
But straight up. But yeah, I will have to post it in the notes. And it's, I went and looked at it. Holy crap, that's cheap. And well, those results aren't too bad. It's like fussy to use.
Right.
And stuff like that.
See, that's the other thing, right? It's that whole,
Well, that's right. You want to push a button, right? And you want it to pop out.
It's the same thing. It's the same argument for, plastic extruded 3D printers. Right, exactly.
They're fussy.
But you got to start somewhere, right? And the people that want it will do it. And and that's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people, I always say board cutter, right? And people are like, what are you talking about? But, PCB milling machine, right? It's a little drill bit. You just cut out the copper clad. It's got to be something better, though. I mean, best case scenario, I think, would be like a squeegee acid bath kind of thing. But there's no good way to do it still.
Anything that involves chemicals is going to suck.
That's true.
It's going to suck ass. It's bad enough with the milling machine with all the fiberglass dust
and shit
around.
The best case scenario would be like a inkjet type printer where you lay down like a silver base.
A conductive, that has to be the solution. That would have to be the solution.
Get on it, people. Get on it. Come on. We need it.
Yep, I know. But then you've got to have that drill as well to drill the holes, because ultimately you're going to have some connectors or wires coming off your board that require that through hole thing.
Yeah, that's
Although I guess it would be popular even if it just didn't drill holes, even if it just etched it out or laid down the tracks, the conductive tracks in ink or whatever. Mm-hmm. That would be 80% there.
Yeah, it'd be better. You can't do that last.
I agree. It'd be hugely popular.
You can't do the drilling holes last, though. You have to do drill holes first, because if you print out, or even when you're doing like PCB milling, right? You have to if you don't drill the holes first, say you route out around like a usual via where it gets it looks like a little lollipop flavor. If you do that first and then you try and drill in the middle of the lollipop, it'll just rip that trace right up.
Mm.
So you can't do that. So that's the only downside of that kind of thing.
We're going to have to post-edit this and remove this, because we're going to make a fortune from this, dude. We can secretly work on it in the background.
All right, I'm going to go start making a Gantt chart, all right?
All right, okay. You can project manage the thing. I'll do the grunt work.
How whenever you start doing a project, you start, you come up with the BS, categories and tasks and stuff, and it's like, step one. Think of ideas. Step two, begin to execute ideas.
Step three, become rich.
Yeah. Profit.
Oh
my God. Yeah, no, I don't think we need to post edit this, Dave. I think we'll be okay. But if anyone wants to take that idea and run with it, I am A-okay. I will sign up for the t-shirt on your Kickstarter, and I will buy it 3 years later when it's refined.
Oh, no, all you have to do, see, I went to one of these meetup things, I go to a couple of these meetup, it's a website meetup, and there was there was a local entrepreneurial thing, it was just around the corner. I thought, I'll turn up, and it was all very, Anthony Robbins type. All you have to do is think about it and it will happen. It's like, wow, great, yay. All my project dreams are going to come true.
There's names for people like that. It's Ian, one of the guys that was on this show, he calls them entrepreneurs. There's also
entrepreneurs.
there's There's other ones too. Shit.
Nice.
Yeah, there's other ones too. Yeah, it's people right. that like are so about the idea of being an entrepreneur versus
entrepreneur,
actually
yeah.
doing stuff. That's the key. It's like, oh, come yeah. on, man. I'll call myself an entrepreneur when I'm, you know, sitting on a billion, right? At that point,
right,
I've been
yeah,
an
yeah.
entrepreneur, right? Ugh.
I would probably only call myself an entrepreneur if I was funding other entrepreneurs.
Eh,
maybe. You know, if I was like angel funding, if I had the money to angel fund, then again, I wouldn't even call myself that.
Yeah.
That's a sucky term.
It is a shitty term, you know?
Same as inventor. Or I'm an inventor.
Right.
You know? Oh, it bugs me. Those two terms are really shitty.
Yeah, but you could say that about a lot of terms. I mean, even like maker.
Yeah, true.
Maker is becoming kind of
maker,
like...
Maker, well, you could... You know, well, yeah. I think it's better than inventor.
That's true.
It's
so more
overused.
All-enveloping.
You know, there's so many people who are leeching off the term that it's...
Right.
You know, at least the people who are making... Who are calling themselves makers are actually making shit.
That's true. Yeah.
You know?
And yeah,
so,
that's the good ones, right? I mean, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I try not to be self-referential.
But they call themselves an inventor because they came up with an idea and they paid $5,000 to get it patented, and then they call themselves an inventor. You know, they haven't actually produced anything yet, you know, or done anything meaningful. They've just you know, entered the system, and they call themselves an inventor. It bugs me.
Yeah, when I hear the term inventor, I think of... There's these commercials on around here. It's those companies that are like, are you an inventor? And then they have
yeah,
like,
yeah, that's
you know, they're trying to
yeah.
you know, buy ideas. I don't even know what they're trying to do there, but they're, it's always this caveman, you know, like chiseling away at a wheel. And I'm like, that's what I always think of whenever I hear the term inventor.
Right.
Yikes.
Boy. Or I, often I think of, the scene from The Gremlins. Have you seen The Gremlins, or are you too young for Gremlins?
Oh, I've seen
right?
Gremlins,
Where the guy invents the bathroom buddy.
Yeah.
Right? It's like he's come up, you know, he's a serial inventor.
Right.
And he's trying to be
just
a full-time professional
wares.
Inventor.
Yep.
And
yep.
he tries to, you know, think up something that'll meet some mythical market need.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Rather than just doing something that he enjoys, or, you know, something that he wants to do because he wants to do it.
Right.
You know.
No,
so,
yeah.
It's hilarious. Ah, boy. I only got 5 minutes left. What do we got?
Mm.
What are the dregs?
NASA's selling surplus electronics. It's weird.
But awesome, right?
Well, it doesn't say
awesome.
What it is, right? That's the problem. And so it's like out in Connecticut, I think, or something like that. But basically, I saw this. I got like a Google alert for electronics or something like that. And I saw this in there, and it's FBO.gov, whatever that is. I think it's like something budget. Oh,
Federal
Biz Opportunities, yeah.
Bureau of Opportunity.
Yeah. Federal Business Opportunities, right? And so it says they're surplus sale of excess NASA equipment, and it doesn't say anything else. And I'm just like, no, I want to know what this is. Because it could just be, you know, it could just be like, you know, highly spec'd resistors, right? Or it could be like... It could be like prototypes of the rover, you know? Like,
exactly.
Oh,
I know.
I want that. Give me that.
Oh, see, I would so turn up to that.
Exactly.
It's an auction, is it? Is it an auction format or what is it? It's just got a point of contact. So it's like, I think they only cater to...
Oh, big buyers.
You know, those big auction houses who buy pallet loads worth
exactly.
of crap.
Exactly. Yep.
Right, yeah. Bummer.
Yeah. So if you're in Danbury, Connecticut, that's where the auction's going to happen.
Yep.
Take
a video camera along,
oh,
please.
God, that'd be so cool. But it's probably going to be
we'll
boring. Let's
it.
Be honest. I mean, it's probably going to be.
Yeah, maybe. But
it's probably going to be resistors.
I would so turn up to it.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
In order to submit bids. But how can we submit a bid when we don't.
Yeah. $5, I guess. Yeah, like it's like you got to start somewhere.
$5 per pallet, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And but there's companies that do that. They buy pallet loads worth of this stuff, and they're resellers on eBay. You know, they buy a pallet load worth of
oscilloscopes. Yeah, they just
buy
it based on statistics, right? Yeah. They're just like, well, there's bound to be something worthwhile in here. And, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's actually shitty TV shows in the U.S. about that, too.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's so bad. I do not watch them.
I'm a bit of a fan of Pickers. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I was watching that this weekend, actually.
I just like the guys in it. I think their personalities are great.
That's good. But, you know, it's also the junk aspect. You know, like, electronics people are pack rats by nature, right? You have to be.
Yeah, that's right.
You need a junk bin. You need stuff to pull from. It's like, we don't throw stuff out.
I enjoy watching people's garages. You know, they go into people's garages full of, you know, 20 million pinball machines or something.
But I don't get where... Like, people just keep buying outhouses, or whatever they're called, outbuildings, right? And it's like, that's where they keep storing stuff. But, like, where does this stuff come from? I never understand that. I mean, I guess it's just somewhere between being a hoarder and something else. But, yeah, I feel like that's the kind
of
thing.
Most of it was acquired before the days of eBay. You know, now it's like, you know, before the online days of, you know, of just being able to sit back, click, you know, buy, and have all this shit turn up.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you ever buy
a bit of effort to acquire this stuff?
You do that with like test equipment sometimes, right? You'll buy it on a whim
I'll just buy it on a whim. I see it on eBay and I go, that's a good price. I'll buy it, you know?
I've never done that.
It's a bargain.
It's a bargain. That's the worst thing, right? When you're like, I have to buy it, right?
I have to buy it. It's a bargain. Otherwise, somebody else will get that bargain.
My precious.
It's a sickness.
Yeah.
Man. I used to buy and sell multimeters because I just enjoyed it. You know, and other gear, oscilloscopes and stuff. Oscilloscopes are harder because they're bigger and, you know, the postage and packing is a pain in the ass, but... You know, small stuff like multimeters was, you know, bought and sold so many.
Yeah. Did you fix them up ever, or no? You just bought them?
Sometimes, you know, I'd rub the numbers off and I'd sell, you know, I'd polish them up and I'd sell them like, you know, I'd always make money out of it because I knew what something was worth, you know, and
What's that called? Arbitrage?
And sometimes you would take a chance, you know, you'd take a chance on that one that's, you know, I have no idea if this works. I don't know what this thing does, you know, and, and you take a chance on it. And, most of the time, it works out.
And if not, then you just say, I don't know if this works, and you sell it again.
Well, you just...
Or it sits in your garage, right?
Exactly. You just toss it in
or
the
in your lab.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Mm. Anyway, our amp hour's up, I think. I think we're smack on time, actually.
Weird. I think we... we made it for this week, huh? We'll see if we can't get Bob back next week. It was unfortunate, the timing. He was sad he couldn't be here. But thank you to everyone who filled out questions, too. That was good showing.
They won't go to waste. We will get him back on, and we will ask those questions.
And we actually have three guests out right now. We have three guests scheduled, so I'm looking forward to all of them. And we will find out who those other ones are very soon.
And speaking of next week, I will be at... The Electronics Trade Show, electronics with an X, ex.com.au.
Nice. So any Aussies out there, go find Dave.
And it's...
And say Great Scott. That was
Great
that, right?
Scott will be the password. Come Great up Scott. To me and say Great Scott. I'm fairly sure at this stage I'll have a freebie for you.
You should do something that was more embarrassing where it's like, I cannot do it, Captain.
I like Great Scott, though.
Yeah.
In case with the Back to the Future thing, I'll probably have a couple of Back to the Future posters up in my booth. I'll have my out of time number.
People who don't know
who
you are going to have no idea what
you
do.
I know. It's great. That's the idea.
Yeah.
And so, what the hell's going on in this booth?
Have intrigue.
Like, who are you? You know, you've got a cardboard cutout of yourself and you've got Back to the Future posters. What the hell are you selling?
This 12-year-old kid into this electronic show, right?
Exactly. Maybe I can wear the Marty McFly hat.
Oh, there you go.
I've got a Marty McFly cap.
Nice.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right. Well, have a good time in the show, man.
Will do.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
I'm looking for tips. Like, I feel like I should leave and see if you can do any better. I'm sure you could.
Oh, right. Okay. No, I think I did it once and I sucked too. Yeah.
It's weird, right? It's just like you're not used to it. And then it's like, well.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, it throws you off. Yeah. I think I did it once for some reason. You ran and had to do shut up a barking dog or something and I was left holding the bag.